Acts chapter number 27. Now, after you find your scripture, I want you to hold your finger there in your Bible. We'll go back there and read in a minute. But I want you to turn your eyes this way and listen to me and let me kind of bring you up on something. What I want you to envision and to be reminded of is that Paul now is a prisoner. Paul is not at liberty to go and come if he wishes. He is a prisoner. Years prior to this, God had told Paul that one day he would stand before Caesar and he would preach in the household of Caesar. He would deliver a message in Rome. If you will read the scriptures in the first chapter of Romans, I think it's the 10th verse, you will find there that Paul says in writing that he is praying that he would have a prosperous journey in coming to the people who are in Rome. He is very desirous to come and to minister to these people who are in Rome. He felt himself going there as a man that had the liberty and the freedom to preach the word under divine commission. I kind of think that what Paul is saying here is that I'm going there with my heart wide open, with the authority that God has given to me to preach the word. He could envision himself arriving on a ship, going out, declaring the word of God, preaching to the people in the synagogue or wherever it might be. And his heart is all set on this. And years have gone by now. He's in prison. And now then he's about to go to Caesar because he had just been released from Festus and Agrippa. And they had sent him. He made an appeal to Festus. And he says, I want to appear before Caesar. Now he's going to Rome, but he's not going as a man of freedom. He's going as a man in prison. The chains are on him. He's bound. He is a prisoner going there. Now, many times God speaks to us to do certain things. And we hear his voice loud and clear. And we know that he wants us to do this. But then we get our own preconceived ideas as to how this will be done and how it will be accomplished. And this is where we get our spiritual life in jeopardy. Unless you have received a divine revelation from God as to how God will use you to perform a certain thing, then the way he uses you will never be the way the natural mind figures it out. Anytime I get it all figured out in my mind how God's going to do something, it never happens that way. And what happens is that I find circumstances developing that seem contrary to what God has told me to do. And these circumstances begins to make me think that it is impossible for it to ever happen. And so then I began to look at the natural situation, and I began to say to myself, well, I must not have heard God. I thought God spoke to me, and the devil tells you then, well, you were just confused. He really didn't talk to you. He really didn't tell you that. And this is when you begin to lose faith. It's when you begin to try to reason the thing out. You're best to live from day to day, knowing that God will direct you unless you have received a divine revelation. Now let me pause for one moment on the divine revelation. There have been times that God has revealed to me things that he was going to do. And he revealed them to me in detail. Let me back up. Some almost a year ago now, God spoke to me and told me that I was going to El Dorado, Arkansas to preach. He showed me how the situation would be. He showed me the auditorium that I would be in. I did not know the building. I knew the church buildings, and you've heard me tell this before, how that I did not know the building I was in. But when they called me and told me they had secured the municipal auditorium, and that's where I would be speaking, immediately I knew that was the building that I had seen in my dream. The first night that I was in that building, and I sat on the platform, and I watched the people come in, I saw them sit down in the exact seat, in the exact location, sitting by the exact person that they were sitting by in my dream. There they were, the individuals. I knew them by name. I knew them by face. I had seen them months before in my dream. That is a divine revelation. Amen. But the other morning, I started to come to church. I got up early on Sunday morning, and the Lord says to me, I want the service today. And that's all he said. I want the service today. And when I got here, each moment was bursting forth into a new revelation, because I did not know what was going to happen next, but I knew that God was going to take over, because he said so. Amen? Am I making myself clear? God says, I'm going to save your loved one. I'm going to bring your brother around. I'm going to save your husband. I'm going to deal with your friend. But he doesn't say how. And then things begin to develop, and it looks like it's impossible. They get worse. They get further away from God. They get involved in things that seem totally impossible. And when all of this begins to happen, see, then you begin to look at the natural circumstances and you begin to say, how can it happen? How can it happen? But remember this, God is not governed by circumstances. Amen? Now let me show you how Paul was. Paul panicked. And I hear people say that a lot of times, said, well, you know what? You should never get to the place where that you're really discouraged. Where if God tells you something, stick to it. Well, that's right. But sometimes that's harder done than said. Amen? Sometimes God tells you to do things, and it's tough to hang in there. Sometimes God reveals things to you. Paul knew that God says, go to Rome and preach in Rome. He knew that. But you know what? He lost hope. You don't believe it? You follow me. And let's go into the 20th verse of the 27th chapter. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Amen? Paul says here, he says, when we had been in the storm, you see, if you'll go back and read the whole chapter, when they started to set sail on the last leg of their journey, Paul says to the captain, he says, we shouldn't sail because we're going to hit a storm. And said, the ship is going to be destroyed and our lives are going to be endangered. And they said, oh, this old boy, he just doesn't want to go to Caesar because he's afraid that he's going to be killed. So he doesn't want to go. They thought that he was just trying to beg off to bluff them. But really, he had received a revelation from God. But here he is a prisoner. There's nothing he can do about it. He was placed on the ship against his will. He was set sail to sea against his will. He knew there was a storm out there. He knew there was problems ahead. But he had to go because he had no choice. And now then they're in the midst of the storm. For 3 days they had not seen the sun, nor the stars, nor the moon. And the tempest lay upon them. And Paul says that it looked like all hope was gone. He said, I knew that I was perishing. You know what I believe the devil said to Paul in that hour? Boy, you missed it. You just thought God said for you to go to Rome and preach because you're fixing to die. You say, oh, Paul didn't think that. You read it. Paul thought this was the end. Paul thought the journey was over. Paul thought he had preached his last sermon. He said hope was gone. Hope had vanished. He was at the point of death. He could see no way out. He could see no way they could survive. Have you ever been there? Amen. Circumstances develop to where it seems totally impossible that you can do what God called you to do. Amen. Seems like it could never happen. Seems like it's the farthest thing from you. And your heart just begins to sink. Amen. You have prayed, you have waited before God, you have wrestled with God. Maybe the person you've been praying for suddenly says, I'm going to move. I'm just going to pick up and leave. And they leave the city. They leave the country where you can't even get to them. Maybe it seems like the very thing you've been praying about, suddenly it seems that all doors are shut. That's the natural eye looking at that. Amen. Paul says the tempest lay on the ship. It looked like any minute it would break in two and they would be scattered and drowned in the depths of the sea. He said hope was gone. There was no way. There was no way. Read the next verse. You know what it says? Paul absents himself from the people for a while. Said he was gone for a long time. You know where I think he went? I think he went down in the bellies of the ship. And he says, now God, you know that I really thought you wanted me to go and preach. And you know, I told those people that I wanted to come. I even wrote them a letter and told them I was coming. And you know, Lord, I really thought that I was. I really thought that. But you know, Lord, I must have misread it. You say, you think Paul did it? He was a man just like me. Amen? He was just like you. You know what he did? He crawled up under his juniper tree, just like Elisha did. And there he lay, or Elijah, I mean. And there he lay. I believe this. He was discouraged. He said hope was gone. Have you ever been there? Whenever all the hope that you had suddenly was snatched from you, you had envisioned that your loved one would be saved. You had envisioned that you're going to get that new job. You had envisioned that things were going to get better. You had envisioned that your marriage was going to be saved. You had envisioned that somehow your children were going to come to God. And then all at once, it seems that all hell breaks loose against it. And it seemed that the whole thing is going the other direction. And suddenly your heart just sinks. And you say, all hope is gone. I've done everything I can, and now it's going the other way. There's nothing I can do about it. And what do? You go off somewhere, and you get along with God, and you say, God, I don't understand it. I guess I just thought that I knew you. I guess I just thought that I was serving you. Oh, and the devil begins to take over. And he says, well, if you was better, he'd hear your prayers. If you're righteous, he'd hear your prayers. Amen? The storm is raging. The ship is being tossed to and fro. It looks like their life is going to be dashed to pieces by the billows and waves of that sea. But there's somebody watching that storm. Amen? And while he's off down there somewhere, I don't know where he was, but you can rest assured he wasn't having a camp meeting. When he left, all hope was gone. That old boy was just as despondent as Gorman would have been. He's just as despondent as you would have been. Amen? He was a man like you and I. He was no super-duper person. He was flesh. All that he was because of Christ in him. And Paul makes that very emphatic. Let me tell you something, friend. When Christ is in you and suddenly you have the rug snatched off from under you and you hit the ground, so to speak, and you sit there, you and your hope is gone, in that moment, you're low. You're despondent. You're downcast. I don't care who you are. When your faith has been built up and built up and built up and built up and built up, and you thought, oh, it's going to happen. You talk to this preacher and he says, well, just keep believing. You talk to that Christian, they say, just keep believing. You keep on. You're fighting day and night to hold on to that little thread of faith. And then suddenly, darkness hovers over you. The storm is there. The wind is howling. The men have panicked. There's no person around you can turn to, really. And all hope is gone. And in that moment, when all hope is gone, there's someone who sees. Amen? I'm glad God doesn't minister to me just when I'm crying and begging Him to. But sometimes I'm so low until I can't even pray. Amen? And He dispatches an angel and says, you get yourself down there and you tell him, hallelujah, that no storm's going to stop him from going to Rome. Hallelujah. That he's still going to stand in the house of Caesar. Oh, hallelujah. And he's still going to preach the truth in Rome. You go tell him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That's what happened to him. Amen. Listen to it. He says, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye would have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man. Life's among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years before that, he got that message. But a few verses back, he said, all hope was gone. My sermon was washed out. I knew I'd never get to preach that sermon to Caesar. But now then the angel of the Lord stands beside him and says, fear not, Paul, because you're still going to preach that sermon to Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now listen to me. Listen to me. How'd you like to have been one of those old boys on that boat? And that ship was still. Whop, 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 whop. Looked like any minute it'd break in pieces. And here comes a Pentecostal preacher, and he stands up there and says, fellas, God just stood by me and says, stay with the boat. We're not going to be lost. So I wonder if they hadn't threw him overboard. Amen. The only thing that kept him from doing it was when he reminded her, he said, I told you that this storm was out here and you didn't believe me. Now you better listen to me this time, because someone stood by me down there and told me to stay with the ship, that you're not going to be lost. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I could understand if he came up out of there and says, everything's going to be great. It's going to be joyous. It's going to be happy. If the sun was shining, but it was still dark. Now, 3 days had gone by and it had been like that. Read on. It didn't get any better. It got worse with every passing day. And on the 14th day, hear me now, 11 days later, it was still worse than it was when Paul says, stay with the ship. It's going to be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless God, if we don't get our answer the first time we pray, we panic, don't we? If everything doesn't just roll down for us the first time we ask God, we panic. But here he is, he's standing up there, and he says, "The Lord told me to be of good cheer. Be not afraid, Paul, because you're going to go to Caesar's house. Just stay with the boat." The storm was still there. The dark clouds were still hanging overhead. The wind was still getting stronger with each puff and each blow. Day after day, it got worse and it got worse. 14 days. And Paul stood up again. He says, "Now look, fellas, you haven't had anything to eat in days now, and we've got to throw all the cargo off." He said, "We've got to get rid of it, so I want all of you to eat. And when you have finished eating, we're going to throw everything off." Isn't it something? Amen. In the midst of the storm, God elevates him to captain of the ship. He's given orders. Hallelujah. He comes to the forefront. He was a prisoner when he left out, but now he's giving the commands. Amen. They all ate and they cast it overboard. Hallelujah. You know, it's awful hard to be of good cheer when the storm's still raging. If the wind stops and the sun comes out and the baby's fever breaks and daddy gets a new job and everything begins to fall in place, it's easy to be of good cheer. But when everything's getting worse with each passing day and all you can hear ringing in your ear is, "Be of good cheer. Be not afraid, for I'm going to bring you to Caesar's house." Amen? You see, beloved, God does not want to take us out of the storm until he takes the storm out of us. Hallelujah. You see, first God wants you to be calm in the midst of a storm. He wants you to have peace in the midst of the storm. The wind's still blowing. The darkness is there. The waves are still dashing. Can you imagine how they must have felt when that ship was being driven after 14 days? And the wind and the waves were tossing it, and suddenly they said, "We're getting close to ground," but they couldn't stop it. They let down sound and equipment, and they found out there were 20 fathoms. In a few moments, they were 15, and about that time, they came to where two bodies of water met. And then there, the waves and all had washed up the debris, and the sand had come up, and whenever that ship got to that, it rammed into the ground. And it rammed so hard and the waves were so great until it broke the tail end of that ship off. The people. And someone come running out and says, "Look, let's throw all of these men overboard and kill them, these prisoners," because that was what they'd been ordered to do. The old centurion says, "His old boy's told us too much, we keeping him." Amen. And they kept the prisoners because of Paul. That's what the Bible says. Paul had them to, he had led them so much and given them so much advice until they spared his life. They went against the orders that was given to them and they spared his life. And he lived and the rest of the prisoners because of the value that he was to them. Now friends, you'll never really know the peace of God in its fullest until you know the peace of God in the midst of the storm. Amen. When everything is going wrong and it's getting worse every day, and you can still know. A little lady that has been going through literal hell came to me a few Sundays ago and said, "Brother Gorman, I have such peace, I am almost frightened." Said, "Nothing has really changed. My marriage is still in the same situation it was. Things are still rough, but I have a peace." And said, "I don't understand it." And I said to her, "Honey, you have just won the victory." Amen? Hallelujah. When you get to the place when nothing has changed, but yet you have peace deep in your heart, you have touched the glory world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you come to the place to where you hear his voice in the midst of a storm, you meet him in the midst of a storm, and there he speaks peace to your heart. The joy, the tranquility that floods your heart and soul. Be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. Nothing is better. Nothing has changed. It's getting worse, but yet be of good cheer. Be not afraid. That's what Jesus does. He comes walking to the disciples in the midst of the storm whenever their ship was tossed to and fro. And as he walked, he says, be of good cheer, be not afraid, it is I. First, God wants to calm the storm in your life before he calms the storm that's rocking your boat. Amen. He wants you to understand and to know that he is not governed by circumstances, that he is not governed by what's happening around you. He wants you to learn to trust him when everything is going wrong, because he is master in spite of circumstances. This is difficult. This is hard. But yet this is what God calls upon us, the Christian, to do. This is what God wants us to do, is to learn to be peaceful, restful, in the midst of the storm. Amen. I'm going to wrap this up by saying a few words to you about the rest. You'll never have faith until you have rest. Did you hear me? As long as you're worrying and fretting, you do not have faith. As long as you're panicking, your faith is wavering. You've got to come to that place of peace in the midst of the storm. And that peace and that rest has got to come. Amen? You've got to realize that nothing can stop you until you have completed what God wants you to do. Amen. These men on the ship with Paul would have never witnessed the supernatural power of God had not there been a Paul on that ship that would obey God. Amen. And he took instructions from God, and they saw the power of the supernatural God. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to have to learn to be quiet and peaceful and restful in the midst of the storm if you're going to reach your loved ones and you're going to reach your friends for God. Amen. The panicky situation will have to vanish if you're going to reach them for God. You've got to come to the place that you know in whom you have believed, and that you do not let anything disturb that faith and that peace in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to know in whom you have believed. You've got to know his power. You've got to know his strength. You've got to be able and willing to commit it to him. Can you place your loved ones in his hands? Can you place your friends in his hands? Can you place your mother and daddy, your husband, your child in his hands? And let him take them through the storm. If that's what it takes to break them, let him ride the boat. Amen? Let him ride the boat. He's the god of the storm. Amen? The natural thing would have been to have fought. You'll never make it. They had wanted to cast overside. In other words, try to get out of this boat before it broke up. But he says, stay with the ship. Amen? I'm closing now. You hear me? The toughest thing that you have to do when you really get out to business with God is to leave God alone and let the storm rage. There are many people who are not saved tonight because people interfered with them. When if they'd have left them in the storm, God would have brought them to their knees. But we couldn't stand to see them tossed to and fro. It wouldn't hurt them any to go for 14 days without rest or sleep if it meant their soul. Amen? Amen? I'm going to tell you something, Mom and Daddy. You better learn to let that little child of yours be disciplined. And you better learn to discipline that little child of yours. You're raising a little rebel whenever you let that kid stand up and argue with you like that he is as grown as you are. It won't hurt him to stand up and eat a few meals if it's necessary. Now, you may think that I don't know what I'm talking about, but I have dealt with young people a long time, and some of you are sparing the rod and destroying the child. You're arguing with that kid as though that kid was full grown and mature. And you're creating a situation that he will not respect authority later on. Amen? And when that child refuses to respect authority in the home, he won't respect it in school. And when he doesn't respect it in school, then he calls the cop a pig. And the next thing you know, you've got you a little monster. All because you thought you would warp the little child's personality if you worked on the bottom end. It won't.